Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net and Up and Under networks. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
Hello, Pelicans fans, and welcome to The Bird Calls, the official podcast of SB Nation's TheBirdRights.com. I am David Grubb, and I'm joined by Kevin Barrios, David Fisher, and our editor-in-chief, Mr. Ali Cosell. So, guys, welcome. This is part three of our ongoing series looking at possible destinations for Anthony Davis as part of a trade package for the six-time All-Star. Today, we examine the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers, the team that started it all in many regards, the West Coast, La La Land.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Of course, we know the Lakers were on AD's list of preferred destinations. You know, wanting a winning culture, wanting a team. Apparently that dog
That's
does
absolutely
not like
perfect.
The Lakers. Does not like it. All right. So here we are, post-draft lottery. Lakers situation. One thing we know about the Los Angeles Lakers is that they are desperate. Heading into year two with LeBron James, they missed the playoffs last season for the sixth consecutive year. They did not get the top pick in the lottery. As we know, they finished fourth in the lottery. They did move up, but of course they wanted to win. They need a superstar, and they need one now, because of the LeBron James timetable. So certainly, and we know that there is mutual interest between AD and the Lakers. So before we get into our actual trade propositions and thoughts, Ali, I want to start with you. When you handicap the field right now, where would you have the Lakers ranked as far as a possible destination, and where would you have them ranked as a probable destination for Anthony Davis?
They're going to be towards the bottom in both categories for me. First thing that we've got to mention, everybody, is a simple fact that they wanted to make a deal before the trade line. That's why I think, personally, last summer, they signed everybody to all these one-year deals, right? They were getting ready to flip anybody and everybody they could to add that star talent around LeBron. And, of course, they wanted to chase nobody harder, and they did, than Anthony Davis. So now they don't have any of those contracts. So now it makes it interesting because straight up, with what the Lakers have on the books for next season, you can't come up with a deal that will work money-wise for Anthony Davis. So there's going to have to be sort of like almost like a Chris Paul thing maybe they do. I'm not quite sure if they can do that before free agency hits, where they add a bunch of salary to, you know, basically have trade fodder, or are we going to have to wait until much later to have a deal done for Anthony Davis? So the likelihood of something happening, I think it's under 10%. As to the probable part, well, that depends. And I think that all depends on what David Griffin gets, you know, now. What are teams offering? What are they willing to give up? So if it's a decent haul, like what we, I think, honestly should expect to a great haul, which is what he's going to ask for, if that's not there, then the chances go up, obviously, for the Lakers.
Kevin, one of the big things that's been problematic is that the Lakers' core of young players doesn't seem to be as attractive as many people thought that they would be at the start of last season. Does that their lack of development for a lot of these players and some of them their injury histories, does that concern you in making any possible deals with the Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that's hindering this trade also is that Gail Benson is breathing. That's just a joke. I mean, I'm joking. There was a report that she said over a dead body. I guess I shouldn't make jokes about that because people will take it serious that she feels that way. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it does affect things. I think I worked out a trade where that sort of mitigates that a little bit. But also, I think it also makes them have to pay even more, you know, because the prize of the package was always Brandon Ingram. And now Brandon Ingram's career is in question a little bit, you know, because while it's being reported now, it seems like he can make a full recovery and be fine. The fact that, you know, it sort of ended Chris Bosh's career, the same sort of issue. And, you know, it's a scary issue that could creep up at any time, I guess. So, you know, it makes you, you're like taking on a gamble. And I feel like if I was taking on a gamble, I would want that gamble piece to be like an added bonus, sort of like we talked about in the Denver trade where Michael Porter Jr. is, if it works out, if he can come back from his injuries, then that's that added bonus. Whereas now you're talking about the top piece being like the guy in question. And I don't know if that's something that's very desirable for a team trying to build a young core going forward.
So, Dave, now that we've talked about a couple of those issues, the whole impression of just the animosity that goes back between the two franchises, though, like Kevin said, I don't think David Griffin would cut his nose off to spite his face if the Lakers did have the best deal available. But going back to Ollie's original thing, at this point, looking at the way the lottery fell, looking at what the Lakers have, is there any way, before we get into our actual trades, do you see it the best way for this deal to be made to be a straight up deal, or would the Lakers have to get a third team involved?
Well, I mean, it can work as a straight up deal because the Lakers can accept him into cap space. So, I mean,
as far as the assets you get back, if the to get good enough assets for Davis, do you think that the Lakers need to either bring a third team in to add picks or a third team in to bring more talent? Do you think that would be something that they'd have to pursue?
I'm not high on the Lakers players, but that's less they're not good basketball players and more they're not basketball players I want to root for. And I don't know how else to explain that. I don't feel like either Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma fit as players that I want to be alongside Zion Williamson. Brandon Ingram has the added issues of a serious medical condition, and the fact that he's coming up on time to decide if you're going to pay him or not. And I don't think you'd have him here long enough, one season, to be able to make a sufficiently educated decision on that, and I haven't seen what I need to see. But there is a path, I think, to make this straight up. And the path that that's going to be before we dig too deep into it is to play a little inside baseball here on specifically the stipend rule. To explain that first, once upon a time in the 1980s, the Cleveland Cavaliers were owned by a man named Stipend. And he was trading his first round. Correct. And he was trading his first round picks left and right because all he was worried about is cashing those checks. And so the NBA literally had to make a rule to keep from owners being cheap. And that rule is that you cannot owe consecutive draft picks. Now, the way the Lakers can get around this rule and to trade the Pelicans their 2019 and 2020 first round draft pick is that they make the 2019 pick first, because then they're trading a player, not a draft pick. So that's going to be pretty much the foundation for the Lakers trade, in my mind, is the Pelicans get the fourth pick and the Pelicans get a 2020 pick from the Lakers, and the Pelicans get a 2022 pick from the Lakers. Those other two picks with minimal protections, so you feel like, hey, we're getting three draft picks and we have multiple first round picks in the future. That's the starting point, because I don't think the Pelicans, and I feel like especially when you're talking about Pelican fans, not very sold on the Lakers players that they'd be sending out.
Yeah, I think the emotion part of it is one of the harder things about it, because we can get into, we'll all get into the players and the money and all those things in just a second. But I do think you're right. It's a hard sell. It's a hard sell to the fans to that if after all of this has gone down, unless that deal is overwhelmingly good, I think it's a very hard sell to make to Pelicans fans to send Anthony Davis to the Lakers and then bring in these guys. But since you were the last one to go, Dave, I want you to go ahead and give us your deal and break it down.
Okay, so I'm going to – honestly, mine is going to be a straight-up deal right now. I think we'll dive into more when you guys start talking about how we can swing third teams into this and things like that. But the deal that I'm looking at right now between the Pelicans and the Lakers would be everything that the Lakers offered in February, all of it. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, the 2019 pick, the 2020 pick with minimal protections. Maybe you could talk me into top four protections on that. But if I'm David Griffin, especially that next pick is the one where I want minimal protections, because if I don't think Lonzo Ball is the point guard of the future, if you're looking at the 2020 draft class, multiple point guards that could be the point guard of the future. And then the 2022 pick from the Lakers as well. The Lakers do it because they've already alienated half of those young guys, and they just want to get an AD, and then they'll have LeBron and they'll have AD, and they'll do the same thing that the Cleveland Cavaliers really did, is they'll try to use the allure of LeBron James to have veterans who are going to be able to space the floor around the three of those guys come in on relatively minimal contracts. So that's the deal that I would do. Is, yeah, I want all of it. Just send it all, and then if I'm David Griffin, maybe I'll have to reroute those guys later.
Kevin, what's your thoughts on that particular package, and then can you go into yours?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's basically the package they offered to begin with, and it's not really – I mean, obviously, we didn't want that package last season for many reasons, especially I think now that you have Zion – You can't have a point guard that can't shoot next to Drew Holiday and Zion, because you need somebody to create some spacing. And Drew's gotten, you know, he's up and down as a shooter, but I wouldn't rely on him as a shooter. And he's definitely not the kind of shooter that's going to create space for anybody. So having Lonzo next to him there and Zion out on the perimeter is just, you know, there's not going to be any room for anybody to move because everybody can sag off. So I think that doesn't really fit well. And then also Ingram isn't a consistent shooter. I mean, if you get Hart's a pretty good shooter, but he's probably not going to start. So, you know, it's a lot of problems. So, I mean, I think we don't really want that. I think we can all agree that we don't really want that. We, you know, the picks are what sells it for you. And if you're really high on somebody with the fourth pick, then great. If that's good enough for you and the future picks, and then maybe you can auction off things there. And that's kind of what I did in my trade. Which is, you know, it's all based off of the same baseline. But for me, Davis goes to the Lakers, and we've heard talks about Chicago wanting Ball. So Ball goes to Chicago for that seventh pick. And that seventh pick comes back to us. We get Ingram, Hart, we get Chris Dunn, sort of a placeholder point guard, which we discussed in the Chicago trade as well. We get the 2019 pick from the Bulls, which is the 7th. We get the 4th pick from the Lakers. We get the Lakers' first pick in 2023. When LeBron starts to break down, that's probably going to be a better pick, you know. And then the other wrinkle I have here is it's either you could add a 4th team or you could take Kuzma to do this later on. Whereas I have it right now as Portland, but there's a number of teams that I think this works for where you send Kuzma to Portland and I have us getting back their 2020 pick because Kuzma, he's a decent scorer. He's young and he's on a very cap friendly contract. So any of these like sort of contending teams that need some more front court scoring, I feel like you could trade him for a pick that they think is going to be, you know, in the mid to high 20s. So, you know, or just even like a team like Washington that just has so much salary but needs bodies, you might be able to flip them for, a protected or a late first round pick, which would give you. So at the end, the Pelicans will walk away with Ingram, Hart, Dunn, the 4th and 7th pick in this draft. The first round pick from the Lakers in 2023, and then another first round pick from whatever team you auction Kuzma off to. Now, within that, you could either take. Hang on, I gotta get my dog out of here. Come on, get out
of here. We take a brief.
Yeah, sorry about that. So you could either, with the 4th and 7th pick, take whatever combination of Darius Garland, Coby White, DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver that you want. You know, two of those. I mean, you're going to be able to get two of those four players for sure. Sorry. Or you could maybe, you know, test the waters with Memphis to see if you could jump up to number mm-hmm. 2 and get Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes this Lakers deal appealing. But you have to get that other pick from Chicago. To make it.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense there. You know, the player value for the Lakers does seem to be in being able to move them on to other places. Because, again, like we've talked about now with Zion being the presumed number one pick, that everything has to be around fitting and making it work for him. And like you said, every one of the Lakers basically coming back has some issue offensively. So yeah, it's tough to see keeping that whole haul. Ollie, what do you think about that? Just the lack of fit by the Lakers roster. And then what do you think they can offer for the Pelicans to make it an offer they can't refuse?
Well, I think you're going to have to involve a third team is going to be the first thing. I just don't see how you can entice the Pelicans enough and David Griffin with all those draft picks. Now, one thing I wanted to get to, and I'm glad Fish mentioned right off the bat, was renouncing a whole bunch of the cap holds, you know, everybody that was on a one-year salary. And, of course, the Lakers are likely to go that route. I mean, that's going to be the only way for them to really add some, you know, good players and all that. But I do want to mention that they've got some interesting things they got to worry about, like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Mike Muscala, and Reggie Bullock. So I think they're going to be in the most interesting position when they're not getting, like, let me say, confirmations from free agents. Let's say nobody comes knocking on the door in free agency, nobody gives them that 100% agreement that they're going to show up and play for the Lakers. Then they're going to be in the bind, I feel like. So it's just going to be interesting. But either way, they're going to have to add talent, and they're going to have to do it through interesting means. And I think that's going to involve, like I said, a third team. Because if the Pelicans, the only way you're going to entertain on getting them to make a deal with you is by getting more stuff that the Pelicans would want. So that's why I added, for just the hell of it, the Orlando Magic. I feel like, you know, you got to look at teams that are going to want to have a point guard. And I just don't think the Phoenix is going to want to, you know, do a deal with both the Lakers and the Pelicans. And it's hard to foresee a three-team trade in a Western Conference to begin with. So I looked out east. Orlando just stands right out for you because they've got, you know, great depth at a lot of positions outside of the guards. So I think you route Lonzo Ball to them. And then, you know, I'm hearing that Nikola Vucevic is going to re-sign in Orlando, that he wants to stay there. So if he's staying and, you know, they like what Eric Gordon still brings and they're going to keep him. And Jonathan Isaac actually made some, you know, promising development this year, even though in the playoffs he was down his luck. Siakam really overwhelmed him in that short playoff series, but I think they're still high on him. So that kind of leaves Mo Bamba out. So I think the Pelicans should obviously maybe go chase him. I think that would make for a very good get, because this guy has shown maybe he could develop, you know, an outside shot to go with all the talents, of course, he brings inside the paint. So that's what I'm targeting. So Lonzo Ball goes to Orlando. Orlando's willing to give him up. He goes to the Pelicans. The only thing going to the Lakers, obviously, is AD. And then we are also getting Ingram and Kuzma and a couple first-round picks. Of course, the fourth pick of this year's draft. And then, like Kevin, I like the fact that we chase something a little bit later. Unless, of course, they're willing to give up what Fish said. You know, you ask for everything, and let's see if they'll give it to you. But if they don't, ask for something towards the end of LeBron's tenure up there, because they could be even worse than what they are now.
That's true. And let's just sort of reconfirm just some of the shooting numbers we have for this team, for the Lakers. Kyle Kuzma, 30% from three-point range. Josh Hart, 33%. Lonzo Ball, 33%. Reggie Bullock, 34%. Let's see. Who else are we missing here? Brandon Ingram, 33%. So, yeah, not a lot of great shooters in that group. So, Ollie, you gave your final deal, so I guess it's on me now, right?
Yeah, I forgot to include Josh Hart, too. Sorry, I'm looking at this.
Yeah, I my deal is kind of crappy because I just don't – you know, I'm like you guys, I don't really think – the picks to me are better than anything the Lakers can give you personnel-wise.
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
So, yeah, I think you've – you know, if they can give you that 4 and the 7, sure, it becomes a lot more interesting. Without that, I don't think there's enough ones for them to give you because, again, yeah, the value of them is mostly low. You're only getting one lottery pick guaranteed. So the four players I included were guys that I thought three that I thought you could move, and then one that I thought could be worth a shot at keeping because of his value. So Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, and I think, again, like you guys, all three of those are movable assets because of their contracts, because there are teams who like what they can do. The guy that I would give a shot on to keep around is Mo Wagner. You know, 6'10", spaces the floor. Came on after the All-Star break at his salary. He could be that stretch four that they don't have on the roster right now, or he could be a good one off the bench. Just Michigan, you know. But the last game he was here, he played very well. But the second half of the season, he got more time and played well. But again, I'm saying, as a shot, I'm not saying he's a guy that I think is going to be a star or a starter. And we're all saying that basically the general consensus here is that none of these players blow up our skirts, right?
Yeah, right.
So I guess that where that leaves me then is there enough desperation possible? Because the Pelicans have no desperation when it comes to the Lakers. They have no urgency, no rush to make a deal because we know the assets are low.
I mean, for me, I feel like if you get 4 and 7 and at least one more pick in the
future. But it's got to be 4 and 7, right?
Yeah, it's got to be 4 and 7, yeah. One more pick in the future. And, you know, I'd be happy to test out Ingram, you know, and then maybe like a guy like Kuzma come over that you could, again, like I said, flip or add to make or like to dump Solomon Hill's contract or something like that. I think that's an okay deal. It's not my favorite, you know, I prefer the Denver deal over these deals, unless you're guaranteed that you can move up to 2 and get Ja Morant. But I don't know that Memphis would do that even for 4 and 7. So yeah, that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I think that the Lakers were, I mean, we saw that they were headed for the playoffs until LeBron got hurt. I just don't believe it. Yeah, but how high they get like 4? What I'm alluding to is that I don't really want all their future picks either. I mean, everybody's saying, "Oh, you can get like 3 future first rounders." It's not that enticing to me, honestly, because somebody's going to end up in LA, right? I know that they didn't get Paul George.
Eventually,
Kawhi Leonard supposedly doesn't want to go there. Durant neither, you know. But he's going to get somebody. You just got to feel like he is. Maybe DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, I don't know. And add another couple. I know, laugh, Dave. But seriously, they're going to get somebody. You don't need that much around LeBron. So I'm with you guys 100%. You don't get that 4 and 7. I think Lakers is just a no deal, period. I mean, I'll be flat out honest. I don't want to see any deal with them if you can't get 2 positive, and I mean super positive assets in return for AD. Because outside of the number 4 pick, there's not one on that roster right now.
So,
well, here.
Yeah.
What I would say is, like, we're talking about the desperation of the Lakers to do this deal. That's why if I'm David Griffin, I tell the Lakers, you need to figure out where you're routing your guys because I don't want them, and mm-hmm. then tell me the assets that I'm getting in return. It's on you to build the rest of the deal. Because what I'm telling you right now is what you're offering me isn't enough. And if you think that the things that you're trading me are so valuable, then go put them out on the rest of the market and blow up your chemistry in your locker room even more, because all those deals are going to get leaked because
you're the Lakers.
You're the Lakers.
The only thing is, right? David, my counter to that is look how bad their front office handled everything. Do you want to put what potentially could maybe be a good trade in the hands of a worse GM, or would you rather sort of handle it yourself?
No, and I want the Lakers to have to do the legwork to build the trade, because when all of those names keep on popping up in the news cycle, if I'm David Griffin, I'm going back to the Knicks, and I'm going back to the Celtics, and I'm going back to the Clippers, and I tell them, look at all the possible rumors you're hearing out here that, oh, Lonzo Ball might get the seventh pick. Who do you think the seventh pick's coming to? It's coming to me. So that's another thing that you have to bid against now. That's what I would treat it as. I want the Lakers to have to go and build this trade, find the assets out there for the players that they were going to trade me, because I tell them I don't want those. Get me something better. And then the media churn that's going to go about that is me building my leverage, because the other teams know that the Lakers are this serious. All the stuff is still on the table. Rob Pelinka is indeed incompetent, and so he's going to throw everything at me. So Danny Ainge, you need to come with a good offer to the table. You can't just hope that, oh, my C- or my C+ offer is going to be good enough because no one's bidding against
it. So
that's my... And then in the end, I don't trade the Lakers anyways. That's my thing.
Yeah, the obvious next question, though, is, okay, so we don't value the Lakers' assets, but who values them? David, what do you think is seriously the likelihood that Pelinka or whoever helps him, obviously, over there, can get a deal, you know, enough deals accomplished to where they can entice Griffin enough? Because I don't see it. I mean, do you think that there's more interest in Kuzma and Ingram outside of, you know, our team?
I think Kuzma and Ball has – people are really interested in Ball because of the things – again, he can push the ball. He can rebound. He plays incredible defense. We saw the impact that the Lakers defense had when he was sidelined. So I think that people figure – and his shooting did get better last year. I mean, he went from under 30% to 33% as a three-point shooter last season. So I think people – are hoping that if he can stay injury free for a season, that he can make a jump. And point guard is one of those things that one of those positions that tends to take a little bit longer to develop historically.
Go ahead. I was going to say, let me ask you this. Are we shooting too low with Chicago as a trade partner?
Exactly. Could
you think Phoenix maybe at six with one ball? I mean, like you said, you know, his defense and passing and his need to not score might be the perfect side partner to Devin Booker.
That's the thing for me is the fact that Lonzo Ball is actually a good basketball player. He has talent. He has skill. He doesn't fit with Zion. But if you put him on a team like Phoenix where they're a little more shooting heavy and what they really need is someone competent to be a point guard, he fits
to take Booker off the ball.
So I can get some assets, mm-hmm. you know, from Phoenix in that way. And then when we're talking about, because I'm not high on Brandon Ingram at all, but I think a team that might be high on Ingram who wants another wing to add to their collection might be either, well, I'll just jump right to it. If you can route Ingram to Indiana, where Indiana's looking at their roster and they have two bigs, that there's a legitimate concern of, can we play these two guys together in the playoffs? Well, why don't you get yourself a starting small forward in Brandon Ingram and then send us whichever big man you don't want, either Turner or Sabonis. And if the Lakers are going to throw all those picks, maybe you attach a pick to Ingram to make that happen. I don't think you would need to. I think Ingram for Sabonis straight up might be a thing that works because of what it does for Indiana. and then you bring Sabonis into New Orleans. And if you tell me that I'm getting, I have to deal with Kuzma, and then I have Ball, I mean, Kuzma and Hart, and then the 4 pick, the 6 pick, and Sabonis, well, now I'm interested. Now I'm interested, but you have to, the Lakers have to do legwork there for me.
Yeah, I think you're right. The Lakers' biggest job now, I guess, for the, as far as the Pelicans concerned, is to be the dummy at the table during a poker game who just keeps putting chips in, even though they probably don't have a hand that can win. So, I mean, yeah, the Lakers, like you said, Dave, to raise that price to make sure that you can keep going to other teams and say, these people really want this, and they are willing to overpay. And that's what the Lakers have to do to get this anyway. So you want them to be in that position so you can go back, like you said, to those other teams. Let's rank.
Go ahead. I dropped one. So I was talking about routing Ingram. Another place you might be able to route Ingram to would be Denver. If you tell Denver, okay, we're not getting a point guard back in this deal yet, can we get something that's relatively cheap, like Monty Morris and a flyer on Michael Porter Jr. if you take Brandon Ingram? Because they still, you know, they might look at their roster and say, hey, we still kind of have a hole here at small forward. We're playing Torrey Craig and we're playing Will Barton and et cetera. Brandon Ingram might be enough of an upgrade for them where they think that that gives them the next step. And then the Pelicans can get competence at point guard in Monty Morris, who can, you know, run a Alvin Gentry offense for you. And then you're getting that possible all-NBA talent in Michael Porter Jr. if he can be healthy.
All right, so just to go back, this is our fifth team that we've covered. I'm going to give you the teams that we've gone through. We're going to say, I just want you guys to let me know, Lakers better or worse than the offers we discussed for these teams. Let's start with Toronto. Lakers better or worse? Kevin.
I'm going to say the Lakers is better. I like the player. I like Pascal Siakam more than anything I would be getting from the Lakers. But because of what I could possibly do with the Lakers players with other teams to build a real cachet of draft picks, I think the Lakers trade is better than Toronto's trade today.
All right, Ali, I'm going to give you the Nets. Better or worse for the Lakers?
Oh, that's worse. I mean, if the Nets really want to go after Anthony Davis, they have the assets that are definitely a lot more attractive. Especially, if I mean, you can go either with LaVert or a package around him or D'Angelo Russell.
All right, Dave, I give you Denver. Lakers better or worse?
If Denver's willing to include Jamal Murray, the Lakers don't have a chance. But it all hinges on that. If Jamal Murray's not in the trade, then there's more hope on the Lakers then.
I think for me, for Chicago, I'd probably say that I like Chicago's talent better. If you could get Lauri Markkanen or Wendell Carter, I think those are better. Those two players' ceilings are higher than any of the ones that the Lakers have to offer right now. So Lakers really have to come with those intangible assets of picks and people who can get moved to third parties, to it looks like, for them to get back in the mix.
I think one thing that makes this little game that we just did a little hard is the fact that it's pretty safe to say that the Lakers will give us anything we ask for. Whereas the other teams, you have quite like, yes, if I'm getting Lauri Markkanen, that's a better deal. But would the Bulls give me him? I don't think so. You know, like, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. But, yeah, and so I don't know. That's all I was going to say about
it. Yeah, I guess, I mean, it's like you said, this is an intellectual exercise because so many factors will go into whatever these offers are eventually. I guess it's just from the perspective of, yeah, if you just had to look at – straight up, look at these two rosters comparatively, and you could pick from either one and take what you wanted. I guess our consensus is that the Lakers have a ways to go. Even though you're correct, their desperation means that they will give you anything and everything that you want to make this happen, even if that isn't necessarily what you want.
Well, it sounds like, and David Fisher is absolutely right, they're going to have to do all the gymnastics to make a deal happen. Because, I mean, we didn't even mention that Brandon Ingram's only got one more year on his deal after, obviously, this year. And I'm not sure if he'd want to stay in New Orleans. We already know Lonzo Ball doesn't want to come here. And Kyle Kuzma, he's got two more years.
Zion, too, though, Ollie. You got to factor in that all that stuff was said before we got Zion. So those things could possibly change.
That's true. Yeah.
And the perception of the organization has changed.
Yeah, also that, you know, the training staff, the GM, well, the president.
Well, all I will say is that, honestly, Alvin Gentry once told me this, that Lonzo Ball is the real deal, that he can be almost a centerpiece in any kind of big deal. There's a lot of high expectations for this kid. As David, you've already alluded to, we even talked, I remember sitting in the media row back in December, like, thinking of packages, right? And I remember you specifically pointed out Lonzo Ball after we had just talked about Ben Simmons. And I know a few people looked at you kind of funny, but, you know, Lonzo Ball is really regarded highly in this league. So, yeah, if he was to suddenly want to stay here, I guess that would change things.
I remember that conversation clearly with Alvin, and Alvin said that he believed that if the Pelicans had made that deal, that Lonzo would thrive in his offense, that he could do everything basically Rondo could do. Just doesn't have the experience.
Exactly.
But just the ability to see, to run the tempo, to defend out on the perimeter. He was like, he would love it here. He would love it. I mean, Alvin was just like giddy about that.
Yeah, because he had every reason to be. Because once Rondo walked out the door, when you have just Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis as your two main guys, you need that type of facilitator. You know, things are going to change now with Zion, obviously. But before, yeah. Now, does Ball make as much sense? I think, David, I think you just mentioned that fish. But, or was it you, Kevin? How much does Ball actually now fit with Zion?
Yeah, that's the thing. But I think with this, for the Lakers, I think the thing that I'm not as down on the Lakers trade as I was initially, and is because they got the 4 pick. And I just think there's a lot of chances to create paint a blank slate for David Griffin to operate with, because you can trade those other pieces or have them traded. Other pieces where you can pick and choose things from other teams to be included in this. Whereas when you're dealing with any other team, you know, I know those things get trickier, but when you're dealing with any other team, you're just looking at their roster and what the picks that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas where these players, I think you could definitely get a first for Lonzo Ball. I think you could get a protected or late round or a late first round pick for Kuzma, and you could probably get a first for Ingram as well. I mean, you could definitely get a pick for Ingram, a first round pick for Ingram, if it wasn't for the medical issues, maybe more. So I think, plus the other picks you're going to get from LA to begin with. So that way, you know, it's just so much that you could, you know, have your hands in how the roster is constructed and not really necessarily rely on what one individual team has. And that's why I think it's a little bit more attractive to me now than it was. I still, my top choice is still the Clippers. That's my favorite one. And I really like Denver. And of course, Boston and New York are great. Any of those four I really like. But this Lakers trade is very intriguing to me because of all the side movement that you can do with it.
Yeah. One other thing we got to remember and remind the audience too is that David Griffin always talks about fit. And we already know by, you know, some of the conversations he's had of how important the word he's like-mindedness quite a bit when describing Drew Holiday and Zion. Well, whoever comes to play alongside Drew Holiday, which, you know, we all kind of, you know, could read between lines and say it's Zion. So that's what they're looking for. That's another thing. So when you're talking about just a bunch of young players, I don't think he would jump all over that at all. I think they already have to show something or be trending towards something. I don't think Ingram or Kuzma would fit the long-term vision of David Griffin, quite possibly.
I want to jump in on specifically on the 4th pick, because we've already talked about this a little bit, but Jarrett Culver is the kind of guy in terms of like mentality that I want in the locker room as the cornerstone with Zion Williamson. There is, again, questions on the shot. The shot looks shaky, but that's something that can be rebuilt. That's not a great bet. Let's be honest. But he loves defending. He's a creator. He's a high basketball IQ guy. I was asking a buddy on Twitter, Cole Zwicker, who writes for the Stipend. Hey, who would you pair if you were going to pick a wing in this draft? Who would you pair with Zion Williamson between Culver and RJ Barrett? And he said, Culver, usually just bet on a basketball IQ when it's close. He's a better defender, passer, decision maker. RJ is a better shooter with his feet set, but Culver, I think, has more shot-making upside. A lot of it depends on Culver's upside game, but I like his overall approach more. And I dove back in and throughout our conversation about so much of it is about mentality and about the culture mm-hmm. that you build when you have your two young guys that you're bringing in, that this is kind of what's next for this franchise. Both of them love to defend and put it all out there. Mm-hmm. If you have that, it's going to permeate everything else that your organization is going to do in a way that taking a swing on Darius Garland, I don't feel like does.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. That's another reason why I think the Lakers trade is way more attractive, because if you can get that seventh or sixth pick for Lonzo, then you're guaranteed to be able to get one of Culver, Hunter, Garland, and White. Well, you get two of them, you know? So mm-hmm. that's such a boost right there to be able to bring in those guys that you think fit along Zion, and then, you know, like you said, establish your culture early on and build around that.
Now, what is the impact then? Let's say if you get the four, the six, mm-hmm. so you're bringing in three lottery picks this season. What's the impact then on the Jrue Holiday situation? Because now it does look like you're doing a full youth movement. So if that's the case, how attractive are the Pelicans still to Jrue Holiday? Ollie?
It would all depend on how this first year goes, obviously. As Griffin mentioned, he has not yet achieved remotely close to what he's wanted to. And that's obviously deep playoff runs, a championship. And he wants to be able to have a chance at all those before he retires. If this first year goes to where it's a lot of ups and downs and the Pelicans finish with, say, 20-25 wins, I think Drew's not going to want to stick around. I mean, unless the team really comes together and finishes on, like, some incredible streak. And, you know, you can definitely read between lines that there's so many positives that this is going to be a good team with this existing core. Then he would stay. But if not, then he would be out. And you're right. You've got three rookies you're investing in. Even though we all think Zion's going to be able to jump right into this league, Culver's going to take a little bit of time, I think. So is obviously if you bring in really anybody else in this draft class, outside of maybe John Morant. So, yeah, that's a great question.
Well, a counterpoint to that is that, okay, fine, but you keep Drew for the first year, and you who better to help install a defensive identity with those other two guys being the cornerstones going forward than have Jrue Holiday as a mentor for a year and then trade him the next offseason?
Well, there's that, and then if you're bringing in a bunch of rookies that are cheap, you can still try to win now in the near future. You can invest. Like, there isn't a time, in my opinion, for the Pelicans to better send out some pretty big contracts for guys that are worth it, but some pretty big contracts than this season, because you could have Drew and that other free agent signing that you're going to bring in, and then you keep the rest of the powder pretty clean with a bunch of rookies and things like that in a Lakers trade situation where we're talking about bringing in multiple rookies in addition to Zion. But if you still have Jrue Holiday and another guy who's a legitimate number two and Zion, the three of them should be able to build competence. And competence might be 33 to 35 wins. We're not talking about the team mm-hmm. needs to bottom out and try to be at the top of the lottery every single year. But one of the errors of the Anthony Davis era was they immediately tried to accelerate the entire mm-hmm. timeline. And everything was like, we need to win and we need to win this season. And when you tried to win every single season for six straight seasons and were short-sighted about it, then you get to the end and you look up and you don't have anything else to spend to make the team better. And that's the problem. Like, if you invest now and you throw like a big 3 or 4 year contract at a free agent and it works out pretty well, but through by maybe next summer or by the trade deadline after that in 2021 is looking up and saying, this isn't for me, then you trade him for more assets that you're going to bring in to continue to bring in more young guys and more core around Zion that's cheap. And you're still going to have plenty of cap space to continue to try to win near term, whereas you keep on bringing the young guys, because all you need is one or two more draft picks to hit around Zion. If you get one or two more draft picks to hit, then you're golden. You don't need to bottom out to do that. It helps if you trade for a lot of picks when you're trading out Anthony Davis, so you're not relying simply on yourself to bottom out, and not necessarily that the picks you trade for have to be high picks in the lottery. But if you get good value with that pick, if, you know, you get not to say Steph Curry, but if you get a solid player that's a starter and is a good number two beside Zion with the 7th or 8th pick, and it wasn't even your pick, you didn't have to bottom out to get there.
Yep. But David, what's the likelihood of that? And I think we should use the OKC model. Russell Westbrook's first year, Kevin Durant had already been in the league for a year. They were terrible. They won like 29 games. The following year, they won like 50 games when Harden was a rookie. Russell was in his second year, Durant in his third. Do you think that Culver, no, honestly, besides Zion, do you think that any of these other guys, Culver, even though we're high on him, whoever else, Kobe White, do you think that those guys could honestly form like a threesome? And I'm not talking about Drew, to where they could honestly, you know, conceivably in 2 or 3 years win 50 games, because I don't.
I think White is I really like Kobe. Go ahead, White. I just say I really like Kobe. I don't know if there are, again, we've had drafts before we thought that weren't stars and guys emerged that didn't. But I think that, to me, the ultimate thing here is, and I think Dave is right on this point, this is like making the Herschel Walker deal. It's not about the players you get back primarily. You know, some of those guys will stick, but the overwhelming majority is about the picks that you get and having the option to fail.
Because, but do you think want these picks in this draft, or do you want them down the road? This, or
I think
you want
the future is
them now. Is what I'm
to me. This
is what I'm trying
to
say.
Yeah, in my opinion, the next year and the year after picks are better than this year.
Well, I don't want the draft. I don't want your draft picks to all be concentrated in a draft. Like, I wouldn't want to have more than 2 first round draft picks in a single draft, but no. I'd like to have 2 first round draft picks this year.
But it sounds like you guys are happy with Zion and 2 other picks in this first round of the top 10. So 3 in the top 10. And I'm trying to guess, make the argument that I don't want to go down that path.
No. Well, the other thing is though, in that trade that I'm saying is that you would also have those future draft picks still coming.
Yeah.
You know? And then these are also 3 top 10 picks. They're not just 3 current draft picks. You know, it's not like you got 28. You know what I mean? You could also even package the 2 to maybe move up to 3 or to 2. Or, you know, I think everybody really has those 4 guys that we keep talking in that range ranked pretty highly. So getting 2 of those guys, even if you want to trade one of them later on, if he's not a piece that you want to keep around, you know, at least you had some, because you're going to need some cheap bodies anyway this year, because you're not necessarily going to attract anybody.
Sure, but you guys see what I'm asking though, right? Are we going to shoot the Pelicans load for Anthony Davis for this draft? This, you know, I mean, essentially.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not this draft. I would not.
It's not this draft. Give me Zion and give me Culver. And then if I get another pick, if for whatever reason the Pelicans would end up with a 3rd first round pick in this draft, like 6 or 7 from Phoenix or Chicago, I'm immediately trying to attach that to
Solomon Hill's expiring contract
or Solomon Hill and Etuan Moore someplace else. And can I get like a legitimate immediate plug and play rotation player, so we can win now.
Gotcha.
Because I don't think any NBA team is the place where you want to have three lottery picks that all came on, in on your team right now, because they're all trying to make their place in the league, and your coaching staff's spread thin because there are so many players that need a lot more attention. You can't just say, "Hey, go do your job and work." You know, you don't want to you don't want to divide that attention so much. So I wouldn't want more than two picks. If I get a third pick, immediately I'm trying to flip it.
Yeah.
I'm calling Washington. Hey, are you trying to blow it up? Do you want to move on Bradley Beal? Do you want the sixth pick and then a couple expiring picks so that you're going to easily get some flexibility here in the future? Do you want some of those, like the entirety of your future second round picks that we currently own? Like that would be the thing for me, is that if I get a third pick, can I move that third pick? But I would want, bring me two rookies. I want two swings of the axe in the first round for the next, you know, three drafts.
4 or 5 years,
Yeah, three of the next, like, 4 years is the way I'm looking. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I think that's the whole thing, is just to have that opportunity to, because we know that most picks fail, so the more picks you got in that first round, and like you said, spread them out. You don't want a single year to go by where you're, I mean, like you said, three out of four. I think that, that's a great goal, Ollie. I think three out of four would be awesome to have two multiple first rounds like that.
Yeah. No, I'm happy that Fish.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just glad Fish happy answered that question like that, because for the while there, I was just listening to us and we were just talking about, it'd be great if we could just get the 4-7 with any Lakers deal. And I don't want fans thinking that that's our ultimate goal. This is to throw everything into this draft. That's all.
Oh, no, no.
So I'm glad.
No, no.
Yeah, I'm glad we answered that.
Yeah, because I think ultimately what we would like Kevin said, if the dream is if you have the 4-7 to be able to get Memphis to say, sure, we'll give you, you'll take those for the two. Yeah, if they're stupid and they do that, then fantastic. So if they want some of these stupid Laker players, if they're like, hey, yeah, we'll take Kyle Kuzma, we'd love to have him next to Jackson Jr. So okay, take him. You know, take Brandon Ingram. They could have all those guys. If you could keep one of the picks and give them the players and get Ja Morant out of that, then yeah, but that's not going to happen. I mean, but hey, I think we've buried the Lakers enough. I think we've covered them from A to Z, and I guess A to D as well. So the next time we get together, we'll be discussing those aforementioned New York Knicks. Again, as Kevin has told us, we can skip the pleasantries at the end. You know who we are: David Grubb, Kevin Berrios, Ollie Cosell, David Fisher. You can find us at thebirdrights.com. You can hear us on the Bird Calls. Share it, like it, love it, and we'll talk to you next time. Until then, let's go Pels.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Off the Glass, Nothing But Net, and Up and Under podcast networks. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
Geico presents yet another voicemail from your roommate.
Hi, so about the kitchen. Turns out when there's a grease fire, you're not supposed to throw water on it. Who would have known, right? Anyways, the fire department is here and it's totally cool. Give me a call back when you get a chance.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if danger is your roommate's middle name. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance. Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.